It's Friday, and it's time for Let's Eat with me, Chef Nick. Join us from 3 to 4 for an hour of food, drink, and a little information. Call in and have a chance to win a gift card. Call 769-9577. Thanks for tuning in to Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM. Oh, I'm so happy to be back, Tommy.
We are back in the saddle, Nick.
Yeah, we're back in the saddle. It's been 3 months out of the studio, and I am so happy to see everyone. And still got Tom Lounges back here. He's eating some of the food from the Zombie Club. We got Tom Maloney on the mic and the captain's chair. And our guest today is Trish from the Zombie Club out of Crown Point. And I didn't realize, Tom, today was going to be Crown Point Day.
Yeah, I know. We had the mayor. We have Frank Rivoli, who's also a businessman here from Crown Point, and played some music, and now we got some great food.
I know. It all looks great.
I've eaten three of the things already out of like five or six you brought, and awesome.
Yeah, and awesome. You know, Trish brought some really cool things that we're going to talk about later, but people can look at them online on lakeshorepublicmedia.org. And what's the website?
Facebook, go to Lakeshore Public Radio. Just do a search. We pop up there somewhere. I think we're the only Lakeshore Public Radio in existence,
yes.
So it shouldn't be hard to find. But you can actually see the pictures of the food that we are consuming in real time. A couple of cold beers in the back as
well.
Yeah. I might need one of those after 3 months, Nick.
You're right about that. And you know what? We want you to call in, the listeners, 769-9577, 769-9577, and ask Trish from the Zombie Club out of Crown Point, right on the square, right on the corner in a beautiful spot, what zombies do, especially late at night. And you know what? She was going to throw by maybe a gift card to you.
I think we all kind of feel like zombies after the last couple of months, whether you've been a first responder or an emergency worker, having a, you know, work 10, 12-hour days, 6, 7 days a week, whether you've been quarantined in your house or apartment and you haven't actually been outside for weeks and you just kind of feel like a zombie. I think we all kind of feel like that right now. So
the zombies come out when the sun's out, too.
They do. They're not like vampires.
They're not. And you know what? I've been noticing around that square, boy, the zombies are all over the place.
It's crazy. Everybody's out.
And, yeah.
You know, especially all those people who have been working during that time. You know, a lot of us weren't working as much, but you had, like you said, all your first responders. We had steel workers. So many people who had to be out. And they didn't have a place to go and relax afterwards. So they were like, how about an essential beer for us essential workers?
There you go.
They're happy to have some places open, let me tell you.
So what we're going to do is, you know, we're back in the saddle again.
We are.
And we're going to take a horse to the Zombie Club.
All right, let's get on.
Let's get on. Is this Mr. Ed?
It is. Yeah. It is, yeah.
The young people don't know who Mr. Ed is, but we do. He's my favorite dude on TV.
Showing our age.
Here we go. Oh, that's Tom.
Yeah. I guess. Well, you're back in the saddle. I'm the guy walking next to the horse here.
Yeah, I know. You're pulling him.
I should have probably worn boots instead of shoes.
I feel like I should have gave you $2 for the ride.
You said the trip to Crown Point was going to be quick.
It is.
Yeah.
Look
feels
at this nice wagon. You've got springs underneath the seat.
You've got to beat the rain, though. That's the problem. Are we going to do that?
We'll do it.
Okay.
So we're here.
Finally.
Yes. I want to welcome everyone here to Lakeshore Public Radio, WLPR. And we want you to call in again, 769-9577. And we're here with Trish, the owner, operator, bartender, probably sweeps the floor of the Zombie Club. How are you doing, Trish?
Many, many more jobs. I'm doing great. Thank you. I'm glad to be on. Glad to see people live.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we haven't been in the studio for 3 months now, so it's really nice to see people and
eat again.
Someplace other than your kitchen.
So, that's right.
Trish, why don't you give us a little bit of personal background about yourself? You know, like where you went to school, what brought you all the way up to the Zombie Club?
Well, I grew up in South Bend, so not too far, you know, just a little bit east of here. Went to college down in Indianapolis back in sometime when God was a child many, many years ago.
You can tell she works at a bar, right?
Yeah.
She's got the stories.
We won't go into what year that was. Lived in Indy for a lot of years, and I've been in and out of the restaurant and bar business most of my life, honestly, all through high school, all through college. It's, you know, a really great way to meet people, network, learn skills, learn how to read people. So it was always a really great fallback position, even when I was doing, you know, supposed big girl jobs after college. So it just seemed a natural fit. My best friend and I had talked about doing it, and, you know, it came, there was an opportunity to open up something up here. I moved back up to Crown Point because my dad lives here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's what, you know, once I started having kids, I decided that, you know, I would come back to this area so that my parents weren't just holiday grandparents. So been here for 21 years now, and for the last 5 years, we've been going hard at it at Zombie.
Yeah, Zombie. Now, how'd you come up with the name Zombie?
It was already in. It was turnkey. That was not ours. It was an established place. And, mm-hmm. you know, really, why mess with a good thing? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's on the square. We've just made it sort of a little more our own. Even though we have the name, we've changed the menu around some. We've changed the inside.
The food surprised me when you brought that in, because I remember the old Zombie Club, and I'm like, they have food there? And
you know, a lot of people say that, because we are a 3 a.m. bar. And, you know, we're known for that, and that's
Do you
that's
have to
great.
Have a special license to be a 3 a.m. bar?
No, liquor licenses in Indiana can go up until that point. Okay. Just some people don't choose to stay open until then. If you've got, you know, the full service license, you can stay open till 3. You just can't be 24 hours. You have to close at 3. You can't open again till 7 a.m.
Okay.
You know, there's a couple places that do that. But
yeah, so, you know, you've had your hands in food a lot. I know you. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit about you've worked in restaurants, been manager. Kitchen, you know, worked in the kitchens and stuff. Why'd you go into the bar? Why did that, you know, I mean, you could have just maybe got the Zombie Club and just stuck with food and...
Again...
Because the bar business is tough.
It is.
A lot
but
of hours.
It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of time. But, you know, the people who come in are just looking for somebody to talk to, somebody to hang out with, you know, because we get a lot of people who come in after work. They want to wind down. They come in late at night. We're open all holidays because, you know, people need a place to go. There's a lot of people who don't have a place to go on Christmas or Thanksgiving or, you know, whatever holiday it might be if they aren't with their families. Or we get a lot of people who might maybe tired of their families after a certain time. And they're like,
or
no.
they need that drink in the holidays. Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, we stay open for all of them. And, you know, I've just always had the personality to, you know, meet people and talk to people and bring them in. So, you know, that's how you build your regulars. That's how you build your business, you know, with great staff. And, you know, I frankly think I have the best staff on the square. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've had people with us for years. You know, we don't have a lot of turnover. So that says something about the people who come in and the business itself.
What are your hours there in the day's operation?
We open at 1 p.m. and we're open till 3 a.m. every day.
Every day.
Yep.
And what's the address there?
118 West Clark Street in Crown Point.
So it's right there on the north end of the square,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we're on the north side.
You know, Tom Lounges, you know, they got that Crown Point Theater going on. What's going on with that? Because, you know, that's right across the street from the Zombie Club.
Well, the theater isn't going. Uh-huh. The Bulldog Park is going.
So they're not doing nothing with the old Crown Point Theater?
Yeah, right now it's on, I think, shut down.
Really?
It's on hold.
Yeah, it's
there,
on hold.
There was somebody in there who had started renovations, started restoring it, and for whatever reason just fell short and hasn't been able to finish it.
But Zombie Club is really close to walking right around the corner.
We're catty corner from it.
And as I mentioned, we've got 11 shows and 24 bands that we've booked there.
Uh-huh.
And so when you're coming out, stop at the Zombie Club and grab some of this food. And that makes me beg to ask, because you brought such amazing food today.
Yeah.
Does the menu change between afternoon, evening?
Nope.
Or is this always available?
This is stuff that's always available. Now, we do run specials. Like, I'm getting ready to do an Italian beef sandwich special. I do...
Can you come back for that show, too?
Yeah.
And bring the,
absolutely.
Yeah, awesome.
They're like in a little food desert over here. Even though they're right off of US 30, they still got a little desert.
I'll tell you another thing that's gone over really well is like the third Thursday of every month. Now, it's been on hiatus because of the world shutting down, but we'll get back to it hopefully next month. I did a full Thanksgiving dinner. Mm-hmm. Just everything. Turkey, mashed potatoes, gravy.
On the third Thursday?
Third Thursday of every month. Okay. No, not every Thursday. That'd be a little... Plus, you know, there's value in rarity, so you don't want it to, you know, have it every day where people go, well, we'll go next week. No, you gotta go or it's done. But we were bringing in a good crowd for that, and it's all homemade by me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I do it all.
How many birds are you cooking?
Usually two.
Okay.
You
like
know, I mean,
15, 20 pounders? Like
20 pounders.
20 pounders,
yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, a whole...
Well, that takes us to, like, your capacity. How large of a place? How many seats do you have?
Our capacity, well, I mean, capacity and seating are different.
Because
a lot of people stand and mill about in a bar.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's kind of typical. We're at about 80 people for capacity. Right now we're at 75% of that, you know, until July 4th when we can go full bore.
Is there outdoor seating available?
I have a couple tables out front. We're working on making that a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we don't have a super huge sidewalk. There's some other spots on the square that have a little more room. We don't quite have that, but, you know, yeah, we have
Mr. Lounges here, which has a direct connection to the mayor of Crown Point. And this is my suggestion to the mayor.
Okay.
That they need to shut that street down that's between the Zombie Club and the old Crown Point Theater, because it's just a hazard.
Clark Street.
Clark Street, where all the cars are trying to get onto the square. It's just a hazard. Mm-hmm. It really is. And
well,
just make
it
an
open. The bank is there, though, so you have to access the bank.
Well, 231 is there, so we get a lot of traffic because of the highway, unfortunately. And because it's one way around the square, it's the only way you can get to 231.
Right.
Believe me, I love your idea, Nick.
Yeah,
I'd
let's
love to
shut it down. Let's put some lights up and make it all outdoor seating. That's what I think.
I was going to say, the city of Chicago is doing that. We've seen a lot of big metropolitan areas doing that, just closing streets and expanding that outdoor seating
Now. And where Trish is, it's a perfect opportunity, and it's beautiful there. There's still a lot of like natural trees. The buildings are nice.
Well, and you get the courthouse view.
The court,
and all that.
Mm-hmm. How, do you know any history about the building you're in?
I really don't.
Ghosts? You got downstairs and stuff there?
You know, I could talk about all that, but then people would be like, well, that
it seems
crazy
like...
woman, we're not sure we want to go to her joint.
I'll go there.
All I can say is we've all had some experiences there.
Okay.
So it's, you know, it's definitely got some
character?
History and we'll call it that, character.
Okay. Character's good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's a great word for it.
Well, you know, the place is lovely because if you look up, it's got those old tiles.
Yep,
and I remember that down
ceiling.
In the tin ceilings. I remember down in Lafayette, a lot of places had a lot of tin ceilings and stuff like that. You got
We've
the
got
old brick wall.
Brick walls, big, you know, huge brick. It's the original mortar. And
Now, is the inside still a tropical theme, if I'm remembering correctly?
We've gotten away from that a little bit.
Okay.
We took down, like,
the palm trees.
The tiki huts.
Yeah.
Some more modern tables, a little more streamlined, a little more seating. We've got some cool sofas in there.
I haven't been in there in years.
Well,
it was kind of dark when I went in before.
It is, but that's kind of why a lot of people like it.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a place to go in.
It's actually the best lighting Tom Lounges looks good in.
Well, you know, I enjoy it because people think I'm a lot younger when I'm in there. And I'm like, well, it's very kind lighting in here. And
there you go.
Big bright lights here in the studio. I'm like, oh, there it is.
Yeah. Reality sets in quick.
We're sitting here with Trish from the Zombie Club. You're listening to 89.1 FM, Lakeshore Public Radio. This is Let's Eat with Tom Maloney and me, Chef Nick. And Trish wants you to call in, ask her a question, and you'll get a gift card to the Zombie Club, 769-9577.
So let's rewind the tape a little bit. And you talked about you live down in Indianapolis, going to school down there, Central Park moving up here. The bar, like Nick said, the bar industry is really one that's kind of it's tough. It's hard work. So you're running a bar, but you're also running the kitchen as well. Are you the head bartender? Or are you the head cook? Are you the head everything?
Honcho.
Like, how does that work?
Honestly, I don't really have a title. I wear every hat that's in there.
Okay.
So,
okay.
You know, whatever needs to be done, that's what you do.
So if there's somebody listening maybe right now who had always wanted to get involved in maybe the restaurant industry or the bar industry, you know, maybe they're a kid in college, maybe they're, you know, having just graduated, or they want to take that next career change because maybe they lost their job or their profession through layoffs with COVID. What's that piece of advice that you'd give them?
Well, the main thing you have to remember about being in this business is if you're looking for a place to party, you don't want to be in the bar business.
Right.
That's not going to make you any money. That's not going to make your business succeed. Because there's two kinds of people who want to own a bar. The ones who want to have a place to party and have all their friends and be cool.
Yep.
And the people who want to run a business and make money.
Right.
So,
sadly, too many are like that.
Well, the former, definitely.
Right.
And that's why some of them don't make it. Because, you know, when you're drinking all your product or giving it away.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain level of things where you go, yeah, I'll buy somebody a drink and you do some stuff. You know, you want to build it, but you have to know where your levels are. You still have to, you know, you're in it to make money. It's a business.
Yeah.
Right.
And you have to be prepared to put a lot of hours in and figure out a way. You know, you got to have some sort of hook, honestly, whether it's your atmosphere or your food or, you know, we've always had a carryout license too, which is really great. I know they had relaxed it a little bit during the shutdown. Pardon me, where all the bars could do carry out, but we always had that license. So that's one thing that's really nice when all the liquor stores are closed and, you know, people are out partying. They're like, oh, man, it's 2 a.m. Where are we going to go? Oh, we can go to Zombie and we can get carry out because we can do that at our bar. So something to keep in mind, you know.
So what is your hook? Is it Thanksgiving Thursdays? Is it the food? Because the food is great.
Well, thank you. And, you know, there are still a lot of people who are like, wow, you guys have food? Because basically we're known as the 3 a.m. chill bar.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Honestly, you've got – and I won't name other – I mean, there's a lot of bars on the square, and I'm friends with – most of the owners, and you know, we treat it like one giant pub crawl most of the time.
Right.
People aren't going to spend all. Well, it's true. I mean, most people. I mean, we have our, you know, stalwarts in our bar, but for the most part, people are going to wander around. They're not going to spend all night in your bar. They're going to go all around the square, and there is a whole lot of choices, and they're all different. You know, you can go to the one that's kind of turns into a club on the weekends. You got one that's a little more upscale. You got one. We're kind of a cross between dive and lounge, you know?
Like a corner pub.
Yeah.
She's talking about you, Tom.
We're your neighborhood. Perfect. We're your neighborhood pub.
Like a corner pub.
Lounge.
Right.
Yeah, that's why it's Tiki Club Lounge. Mm-hmm. You know, we have the sofas to sit. We've got big leather sofas in the back where people can sort of sit in front of a fireplace and gather around. And it's just, it's really relaxing. It's really chill. It's just not the place... to, you know, there's places you can go dance, although it ends up breaking out into a dance floor on Friday and Saturday night somehow. Somebody will play the jukebox and people will get up. So we have every age group, every walk of life. It's really nice. We have a really eclectic group. So, you know, as far as our hook, we're just the kind of place everybody goes to chill out after they've been to all the other places.
Yeah.
They basically close out with us.
I'm curious about some of the food we're eating. You had mentioned off-air. That you make a lot of these dips and sauces yourself, and that the breading is done by you.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about why this food tastes so good. What do you bring to it besides a lot of time?
Time, a lot of experimentation. I'm sure you know all about that, Chef Nick. You know, you sort of mess with stuff until you get it right. And like the beer cheese we have for the pretzels, that was just me on an afternoon throwing some stuff together, heating it up, adding a little bit, tasting a little bit. You know, that's why I don't bake. I'm not a great baker. It's too exact a science for me. I like to cook because you can take
a lot
of creative license.
I don't like to bake too much either.
Yeah, so the zombie sauce we made, it's like a whiskey bourbon barbecue. We put a little kick to it. We make it ourselves with actual whiskey and tomatoes and, you know, cook it all down. We roast off the pork ourselves for the Cubans. We make our own pizza sauce. So, you know, it's finding... Because some of them can be shortcuts, you know, like I buy my sausage from, you know, a good purveyor for our pizzas. I'm not going to grind my own sausage. That's a little overkill. But we make the sauce and we get good cheese. If you have good purveyors and good products to add to your stuff and you get some of it homemade, you know, it really is a lot more comforting and a lot better than some of the chain places that you go. And we also just started doing a late night kitchen. And we have a gentleman who comes in and he has, because we're open late, like Friday and Saturday, I'll keep the kitchen open. Even during the week, you know, I'll keep it relatively later. But he's open almost every night now, except Monday nights. And it's a Mexican menu. And it's just sort of a departure from the zombie menu, but it's something that's really interesting and new.
What time does that start?
He usually starts about 7. You know, 7 p.m. And then he'll go till 2 a.m., you know, 2:30 a.m.
So that's... on top of your menu.
That's on top of our menu. So another reason to come in. It's completely authentic, all made by him. Little shout out, hey, Sandro.
You talk about, you know, all made by him, Thanksgiving Thursdays, all made by you.
Yeah,
how rare is that in the obviously, like in Nick's industry, in the restaurant industry, you're making a lot of stuff by hand and making it from scratch anyway. But in the bar industry, bringing your own food menu into it and then making everything by hand, I feel like it's a really, really good opportunity to throw a couple of frozen pizzas in an oven or some stuff in a microwave and call it a day.
And most bars do that.
But you know what? If I'm going to have something, just my personality, you know, and certainly those of us who work there, it's going to be quality if we're going to put it out. Otherwise, we just won't really do it. I mean, you know, to me, it just seems no. Plus, I love to cook. So it's a really great opportunity for me to just be creative and make some stuff. And, you know, the menu changes a little bit. Every once in a while I'll tweak it and take something off if it's not working or add something to it. So, and like I said, we run specials all the time.
So why don't you take us through what you brought in?
Okay.
You got the Cuban.
The main thing that I brought, that's our Cuban sandwich. That's one of the things we're known for. It's pork roasted by us. It's pretty traditional. It's salami, pork, provolone cheese, ham. It's a good smoked ham, mustard, and dill pickle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
you use the butt, pork butt.
Yep.
Okay.
And you know, just shred it, and mm-hmm. then we press it, you know, and flatten it out like a Cuban.
Mm-hmm.
All of our sandwiches get served with fries, but you know, like I said, it's just nice because when you have good products going in there, it makes the whole sandwich good. And we do the pork ourselves. The pub pretzels that I brought in, I don't make the pretzels, but I do make the beer cheese.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a scratch recipe that we keep on hand.
Was that tater tots?
I brought the tots so you could taste the sauce because you had to have something to get it to your mouth. And that's our zombie sauce.
I wasn't supposed to just scoop it up with spoons repeatedly.
You feel free. I mean, you can drink right out of that little cup.
I will do that after everybody else leaves.
I mean, believe me, there's no shame in that game.
All right.
When it comes to food, it's every man for himself. And then the gator bites are something we started doing because nobody's really got gators.
No one got.
You know, my partner and I spend a lot of time in Florida.
Yeah.
And that's one of our favorite things down there. So we're like, why not bring a little taste of that up here? So found somebody around here who has gator bites. That was another thing I messed around with. I just started messing with breading, you know.
Yeah. So you actually bread them?
Yeah.
You don't buy them in frozen and just drop them?
Nope. I make the breading for it.
Wow.
I cut up the gator fillets and bread them and fry them.
I got to say, for anybody who's like, oh, you hear the term gator bites, and you're thinking, oh, my goodness, it's actually really good. If you like seafood, you're going to love it. It's not nearly as gamey as something like shark is. I would say it's probably not as, you know, not as maybe melt on the tongue like a salmon or a perch fillet is going to be, but they're still really good. Very much like catfish nuggets.
It's almost like a calamari too.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
There's a trick to cooking it, you know.
Is it what you bread it with gives it the flavor?
Yep.
So it's like a chicken, like mushrooms.
Yep. It'll take on the flavor, and we serve it with a bistro sauce, which is a really nice sort of.
What's a bistro sauce?
It's like a honey mustard, horseradish, Dijon.
Ooh. Yeah, it looks like it too. I'm looking at it on the plate right now, and it's got the nice kind of a creamy sort of look to it.
And it's a really good complement to the breading. And, you know, the breading has a little bit of a kick. I use a little bit of cayenne.
Yeah,
You know, I marinate it in a little bit, and there's a little bit of hot sauce. Not a lot, because, you know, I have an asbestos mouth, so I can eat, you know, all sorts of hot things, but I got to watch who I'm serving to, so, you know, I have to back it off a little bit.
But. So those sauces, really quick before you finish up on the rest of the food, when you're making them by hand, do you have an idea of like, okay, I need a sauce for the gator, I need a sauce for the tater tots and french fries, I need a sauce for this, and then go about it that way, or is it just you create a sauce and say, let's see how it tastes with these six different things and which one's the winner.
Six of one, half a dozen of the other. Honestly, sometimes.
I can't do math. I'm a comm major, so I don't know what you just said.
It's okay. I'm an English and Spanish lit major, so I only throw phrases out there because they sound good. But like the zombie sauce I use on the wings, you know, instead of, you know, I mean, we have hot and we have garlic parmesan and we have really good wings.
Yeah.
But that's another thing that doesn't necessarily travel too well. I wanted to get you guys stuff that would, you know, still be pretty fresh coming into the studio.
And what is the zombie sauce made of?
It is, it's sort of proprietary. I'm just kidding. Have you ever heard of flashbang hot sauce?
No.
Okay.
No.
It comes in a grenade, if that gives you any indication.
Okay.
Wow. Very good.
It is shipped to you in a grenade. You use very little of it, but then we use tomatoes and a little bit of ketchup and whiskey.
You enhance it.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, it gets put in a pot and everything gets boiled, and then you know, kind of strain it because, you know, you want to smooth it out. So, but it's just, like I said, the best way I can compare it is a whiskey bourbon barbecue with a kick. That's kind of the best way to describe that.
You know what's neat about your place is that, you know, you're a pub, and you like to say you're in between a dive and a corner pub, but your food is excellent.
Well, thank you.
And then you have a limited menu because you probably have a smaller kitchen.
We have a smaller kitchen, and really there's just, you know, I want to have a couple of really good things rather than a huge menu that I might not be. I want to make sure I can keep everything
and people,
fresh. Because we are not a restaurant. We're a bar that has a kitchen.
Yeah, but people probably don't even realize some of the things you put out. People walk in probably surprised to see these things. Like you have risotto balls.
We do. Well, that was another thing that I brought. And that was twofold. I brought those because
I mean, a dive bar doesn't have something that's called risotto.
You know, but we're also a lounge. Doesn't that count? I mean, you know.
Well, we want people to call in 769-9577, 769-9577. Ask Trish from the Zombie Club out of Crown Point how she makes some of these sauces. So you don't have taps.
No, we have no draft beer at all. It's all bottles.
Everything's bottles.
Or cans. A lot of people are going to cans now.
Yeah.
It seems like a lot of the local breweries, even some of the bigger commercial breweries are going to cans.
And why is that, you think?
I think it keeps things more fresh, doesn't oxidize as much through the glass and things like that. So maybe a little cheaper to produce.
I was going to say a 24-pack of cans feels lighter than a 24-pack of bottles as well.
Well, that's true. It's a lot easier to carry when you're getting a carry-out.
Yeah.
So do you try to focus on the local breweries?
I bring as much local in as I can. If I, you know, a lot of the local breweries are now going through some of the distributors.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have several of them that just come. Got unplugged. I'm unplugged here. Where'd I...
Yeah, just right back in the box
right there.
There you go. Are you back?
No, I don't think so.
I'll get you.
Getting a little technical difficulties here. Nick's big feet kicking cords.
Everything out of...
This is what happens when you take a couple of months off the air. We are back, though, with Let's Eat and Trish from Zombie Club in Crown Point. Join the conversation, 219-769-9577. I'll keep Nick away from the phone line so he doesn't kick you off the air. Again, 219-769-9577. Go ahead and if you've got a question to ask, if you want to go ahead and tell us how much you love the food there, you've eaten it before, and anything else you might want to talk about, we are on the air, 219-769-9577. This is what we call filling in the industry, as Nick. You want to get on the mic, Nick, and I'll go ahead and get the...
You know what? I can still hear you, so I can still
talk. Okay,
that
works.
I mean,
that
I'm
works.
Not, you know, I don't need the headphones, but I'm sorry, I just totally lost my train of thought.
Something about sauces, crocodiles,
food,
turkey, food.
You know,
I can't remember.
Oh,
yeah.
One thing I did want to say about the risotto balls, though, the reason
that's
twofold, because, again, like Chef Nick said, you know, risotto balls are kind of a cool thing. They're basically just fried risotto, but, you know, anything deep fried is fantastic. So it's cheese risotto. But I wanted to bring you a sample of our pizza sauce, because that's another thing we make in-house. And it's a pretty simple sauce, but, you know, it's for our pizzas. It's what gives our pizzas that really good flavor. So,
what is the best seller or most popular item food-wise?
Our pizza and the Cuban.
Okay, and the pizza's all homemade?
I roll out the dough. I don't make the dough. Okay. Again, that's one of those semi-homemade things. I get them from a good purveyor, but we roll them out, you know, for each pizza. So it's not like a preformed dough or something like that. Like you're, you know, throwing in a little frozen pizza in a pizza oven. We roll out each one fresh. We have a pizza oven. You know, that's one of our big sellers. And really late night, a lot of the stuff that you're seeing in there, a lot of the appetizers, the pretzel bites, the risotto balls, all of that. When people are, you know, drinking in a bar at, you know, late night or something, they just want a little snack.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's nice to have a snack that's kind of decent. And then we have your traditional wings, and we've got boneless wings. We've got mozzarella sticks. We've got, you know, fried pickles. You know, we got a lot of other stuff, too, that's...
The Gator Bites would make me drive to your place.
Well, then I will expect to see you soon.
And I live for Gator.
Careful. Don't threaten me with a good time,
never
Tom.
You can see that on the menus. And to have that, and then on top of that, to taste what else you've brought,
right?
Definitely makes a destination point for me.
Well, I appreciate
I'm not a
that.
Heavy drinker, but I do love my food.
Yeah.
Hey, and, Tom, aren't they going to do the corn roast in July? Did they move that?
I don't know. That's through the Chamber of Commerce, and I don't really have any connection in any way to that, so I don't know if they're doing that. I know they are going to be having a lot of food vendors from Crown Point at the Taste of Chicago. Are you going to be part of that?
Not so far.
Okay.
We have not.
2 days.
Yeah, we haven't gotten involved in that yet. We were part of it when they did the Taste in Crown Point.
Mm-hmm.
We had a booth, and we had a couple of good things there. But we haven't decided, you know, what we're going to get involved in, because it's really sort of all in flux right now.
Right.
I mean, the whole scene is still changing so much. Who knows how what festivals they're even going to have now, you know, because they've canceled them and rescheduled them and then moved them.
Believe
and
me, I know.
So I'm just sort of waiting for somebody to tell
like balls
me.
In the air.
I can only imagine.
So,
but you know, we like actually, you know, when the taste and the corn roast and all that were held on the square, sort of south of us. We were the redheaded stepchildren of the square. No offense to any redheads or anything like that. But we were blocked off, and nobody really came, you know.
Yeah, the guardrails were always up, and you couldn't get through the businesses.
There were a couple bars down there that benefited from it, and they had a beer garden. So, you know, we had a few stragglers who would come in. But it didn't really do much for us as a business. I mean, I like it for the city, certainly.
Yeah.
Because I like to see my city successful, but... it didn't do much for our bar. Now that everything's over at that pavilion, we get a lot more foot traffic.
How's the ice skating? Anything with that? You know, in the wintertime, you get traffic from that?
We do a little bit. I mean, that's more of a family event, you know, because we are a 21 and over establishment. So you can't bring anybody else, you know, anybody under 21 in there. But we do get some couples who are skating and then they want to warm up and we have a fireplace. So,
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, they can.
One of the things the mayor brought up when he was on the show about an hour ago was the parking. Mm-hmm. And when you had the car shows and they were on the square, I felt bad. The businesses, there was no place to park if you wanted to come have a beer or have a sandwich. Now that the car show's over at the pavilion, it seems like that has opened up, and that seemed to be a priority for the mayor to make it so it's more user-friendly.
Yeah, but a lot of the car guys enjoyed having the walk-around, too, to, you know.
Doing the bar crawl.
Yeah. Right. Well, but I do have to say, a lot of the car guys aren't huge drinkers. You know, we're familiar. We have a lot of friends sort of in that. And, in fact, my partner's racing right now up in Wisconsin with his 64 Fairlane. So,
That's a Ford for the non-car folk there.
We like, I really like seeing the cars, and I like having the people out there. But you're right, the parking, you know, just on a general weekday, you know, the car show notwithstanding, is a pain.
Yeah. So you really do have a problem with parking and people.
We do.
I mean, they have municipal parking there, though,
don't they, around the area?
Which
is, you know, this time of year, nobody seems to mind, but you know, when you get into January and it's, you know, 20 degrees and slushy and cold, everybody's looking for a close spot, myself included. I'm getting too old to be wandering around in the cold. But it's the square. I mean, it's a downtown area. That's what you're going to have. You know, I'd like to see some sort of parking, you know, building at some point, but that's just my opinion somewhere. I don't know where they could even put that right now. But, you know, that would be kind of nice.
Like a parking garage kind of a thing.
You know, covered and nice. Because the municipal parking, although they do have a little bit more. They have some down across from the pavilion now, a little bit south of us.
I didn't notice that.
They've got the stuff over by the police station. So they have a couple of spots where you can go.
Still a far walk in the cold, though.
And once the businesses close also, you know, you're you know, attorney's offices and CPAs and things like that, you know, they close generally 5-ish.
Yeah.
So some of those are closed. And then it opens up some of the parking for, you know, the restaurant, the coffee shop, the, you know, people who are out and about after that.
So they did a lot of work on the square in the last couple of years as well to help protect pedestrians as they're walking about. A lot of streets as well have become one ways in certain directions. Have you noticed any sort of issues with that, with business, in terms of, you know, just the work on the square? Has it delayed things? Has it, you know, are people like, oh, are you guys open? Because I can't get to the square. How's that?
Not really, because a lot of the people who come to see us also are people who live in the area. So a lot of them walk, which is kind of nice. You know, again, being in the middle of that downtown area, surrounded by the residential areas, we have people who walk. It wasn't closed down too much. There were a couple of places I know that got hit when they were trying to make it ADA accessible, you know, ramps and some things like that. And on that east side of the square, like kind of, well, directly north of the square, you know, on the east side, they built things up and put in railings, and which ended up being a lovely patio for somebody else. We unfortunately didn't benefit from that. But we didn't really see a whole lot of issue with that, you know. People were walking, or they'd park away and walk, because, you know, when people want to go out, they want to go out.
Right.
You know?
Folks, we're sitting here with Trish from the Zombie Club out of Crown Point. Call in 769-9577, 769-9577. Give Trish a question, join in the conversation, and get a gift card from the Zombie Club.
That when zombie sauce still, I got to tell you.
We only got 20 great. Minutes left. This hour went by really
it did.
Quick.
It did.
Do you do catering?
We do.
You do? Yeah. So do you?
I mean, I don't do a lot of it, but I'm certainly open to it. I've done a couple of graduation parties for friends, mostly. Yeah. People who know us and know our food have come in and said, hey, man, you want to? And then I do like some kind of completely different things.
Yeah.
Because when you're making stuff in bulk, you know, it's pretty inefficient to try to make, you know, 40 Cuban sandwiches for somebody's graduation party.
Right,
you know?
But if somebody wanted 40 Cuban sandwiches,
I would make it
for
happen.
A random Friday afternoon, he might request that.
Well, you know, and I'll make that happen.
Any gluten-free? Have you thought about that? There's probably no need for it.
I don't really have gluten-free. I haven't really had people ask for it. I have people ask for gluten-free beer, but I haven't had people ask for gluten-free food.
Now, this hard latte. Mm-hmm. I'm going to open this up.
Okay.
What's this like?
That's from Brown Bomber. That is, and PBR actually makes one too. I find
it looks
one,
like chocolate milk.
It kind of is. It's okay. It's like
I'm going to grab a cup real
so
quick.
So imagine you have like a Starbucks Frappuccino. You know, not the.
This doesn't even taste like it has alcohol in it.
No, it can be very dangerous. It's very sweet.
Oh my god, I could drink this. I could really drink this.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It can be problematic. So they are delicious. PBR makes one also, which we carry. PBR's is a
this
little
is like
bit
too
sweeter.
Smooth.
But basically, what it is
that spells trouble for you, Nick.
I know.
It tastes like you know, like say you're standing in line at the grocery store and you see the mm-hmm. Frappuccinos, you
yeah.
know, that you get out of the bottle.
Right.
That aren't,
yeah.
You know,
like
not with
like
the
Starbucks
ice in
and
yeah.
stuff.
That's what
it
tastes like.
It tastes like
got
a Starbucks.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah, kind of. It fond remembrances of, I guess, maybe my White Russian kick several years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
Kind of
only
a feel.
Most White Russians, you can taste the vodka.
Especially in mine.
Yeah.
But that goes down really smooth.
Smooth.
It does feel like I'm just drinking
they're really
a coffee
nice
house drink.
They're really nice when you
pour
them
yeah.
over ice.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not something you're going to sit there and drink six of in one. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, some people might. I couldn't. It's a little too sweet for me. But they are really good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we get
good.
People who come in and say, well, so I want to have a drink, but I don't really like the flavor of alcohol.
Yeah.
You know,
this
so
is it.
I, you know, that's one of the things that we can give them.
Now, are you beer only? Do you do whiskey, hard liquors,
bar.
Wines?
Absolutely. Okay. We have a really, really nice whiskey and scotch selection, and I've been trying to expand
my ears
that.
Have just perked up. I was already listening.
I'm a bourbon girl, so,
okay.
you know, I've definitely tried to improve that selection.
Let me ask you this. What's the different definition of a cocktail? To me, it reminds me of something like Dean Martin and Sinatra sitting around having a cocktail. What is
going
true
to
cocktail?
Chili's and,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
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 What is a cocktail?
Well, you know, it's twofold. A cocktail can be made. We've got a couple of really good cocktails. We've got like a zombie punch that we make. We've got a few things that we do. But, you know, again, being more of a lounge, mm-hmm. we're kind of a beer and a shot place. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of that. We have a lot of mixed drinks. You know, to me, when I want to go out for a cocktail, when I say that, I use it as a slang term, mm-hmm. I'm talking of vodka and soda.
Yeah.
Or I'm looking for a good bourbon on the rocks. Mm-hmm. Or even neat, you know. Or, frankly, just a high life and a shot of JMO.
So we went through like this terrible 3 months of this virus.
Yeah.
How was it during that time for you?
It was tough. It was tough. We got a lot of cleaning done, which is really nice. So,
yeah.
you know, it was zombie reimagined when we reopened the doors. You know, we had scrubbed walls and ceilings and behind coolers and, you know, we occupied our time. We had carry out. So we had people who I would really like to thank who were coming in and ordering food. You know, they could have gone to, you know, McDonald's or they could have
McDonald's had a line all day.
Oh, yeah, I know. And, you know, those sorts of things were frustrating, but we did have people who would call in and, you know, get some decent size orders and kept us afloat, kept the lights on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, which basically that's all we could ask. It was better than shutting the doors.
Right.
You know,
so you
we
never
still had bills.
You never shut the doors.
Nope.
Never did it.
No,
at all.
We didn't. And unfortunately, what was really a drag was we were closed the day before our single biggest revenue day of the year.
Right.
You know, we're a bar on the square.
Yeah.
St. Patrick's Day.
And so how did that affect you? Would you buy into too much or make too much? Or
well, you know, luckily not a whole lot perishable. Mm-hmm. We had stocked because, you know, at that point we were going to do corned beef and cabbage and all
yeah.
that. And I still made some of that and we sold that, you know, during the shutdown. But I stocked up really heavily in advance of the holiday on booze.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, So I had all this inventory I was sitting on and nowhere to really put it. So that was sort of a bummer, you know. And at the beginning, it was like, oh, it'll just be a few weeks. We'll be shut down. And then it went to a month. And then it was like, oh, this is getting dicey.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
During that time, did you do any deliveries or have services come
I
around?
I did some deliveries. You know,
you did them yourself.
I did them myself.
I bet she got a backpack on and started jogging to the houses because that's the kind of energy she has.
I actually did do some deliveries. And, you know, again, with the carryout license, we had people who were coming in to, you know, get beer and wine and alcohol. I got some little airplane bottles because not everybody wants a giant bottle of Jack Daniels.
That was a good idea.
So I got some airplane bottles. So and then we put, you know, cocktails together because you can't sell an open. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what your license says. Mm-hmm. Carry out doesn't mean you can pour a Jack and Coke and send it out the door.
Right.
But I had small bottles of good Bloody Mary mix, got some little vodka bottles.
Oh.
We did that. I did Jameson bottles with cans of Guinness and little bottles of Bailey's so you can get an Irish car bottle.
That's great.
There you go.
They do that in the grocery store with stuff. It's like you put the packages together, you know. I used to put together dry beans with seasoning and stock and put a recipe and you would throw it all in the pot and make bean soup.
Yeah, we were doing our best to try to
that
be creative.
That is so cool. That is very creative. You know, that's something you should do for Christmas as a gift box.
Yeah.
And you should display them around your place.
Well, you just advertised it for me. So
there you
awesome.
Go.
Thanks.
Folks, we only got about 10 minutes left. Call in 769-9577. 769-9577. Trish from the Zombie Club is here, and she's got some gift cards. Call in, ask her a question.
So in this sort of current COVID world, hopefully, fingers crossed, soon to be post-COVID world, what sorts of things have you done? Maybe it's the carryouts or the deliveries or the little booze bottles that you want to move forward with that you think, oh, this might actually be a really worthwhile investment. For instance, Nick over at his eatery in Winfield discovered a newfound appreciation for the drive-through business. And so now he's going to, you know, working on pushing that where it kind of came out of the blue. What's that one thing been for you? Maybe a couple of things.
Well, we're going to look into maybe some food delivery services, maybe, you know, having a little more. Because we brought in the Mexican menu also, we've, you know, started doing the late night food. And so that's kind of new for us to have the kitchen open all night. We hadn't really done that before. And now we seem to be moving forward with that, which is good.
So you feel like you're getting more confident with the food?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I mean,
and this COVID probably helped that.
Yeah, I've been, well, and I've been doing it enough. Again, it was just letting people know we have food.
Yeah.
I mean, you all seem surprised. So that was one of the things to say, hey, yeah, you know, you can come get a shot and a beer. You can come get a good bourbon or you can come get, you know, whatever booze it is you're looking for. Nice craft beers. We got a good craft beer selection. But we have good food. You know, we don't have a ton of it, but that allows you to concentrate on a few good things. So,
right. Make the small things really, really good.
Yep.
Like the Gator Bites.
Yeah.
Because I'm going back for
my
third plate.
I love that you keep going back for that. So, I should have brought more of those.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll be back later.
So
I live right around the corner.
Yeah, she lives right downtown Crown Point.
Yeah.
Wines. Do you deal with like local wineries or you just...
I don't. You know, wines are not one of the things we have a huge demand for.
Okay.
I do have a selection. I've got reds and white. You know, I have a Pinot Noir and a Shiraz and a Cab and Pinot Grigio and Chardonnay and Moscato. You know, I've got anything you could want, but we haven't really concentrated on that. I'd rather concentrate on the craft beer selection, bringing in local people, local breweries, pushing that a little bit, and good whiskeys, good scotches, because that seems to be a big thing right now is, you know, people.
Well, do you get, 18th Street Brewery does spirits. Do you get anything from them?
I do. I have some of their stuff. I also have some of their beers. In fact, I brought one. The Patio Pils is over there. That's from 18th Street. It's just a nice, smooth drinking pilsner. The name of it is perfect. It's something you can sit on a patio and drink, you know, hot weather. And
especially this 90-degree weather we've got coming over the weekend, over the next several days.
You will never hear me complain about the heat.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, how many tables you got outside? You got some tables outside for people.
We have three tables currently.
Until they expand when I want to expand.
Yeah, we're, you know.
Call Dave. I've got Dave's number. I'll give it to you, Nick.
You know, or call Falkowski. He's, you know.
I went to high school with Greg. Yeah,
okay.
we go way back.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that can make things happen. He's the guy I usually call.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got all these crap beers, and we've talked to some, you know, people that have had bars and stuff, and I always ask them, what's the best selling beer? And it always seems to go back to the old Millers and this and that.
No question. The domestics.
Is it just the legacy aspect? They were what your grandpa drank. They were what your dad drank. They're what I drank. You know what I mean? Like that kind of a feel.
I got a huge PBR contingency that comes mm-hmm. into my bar. Mickey's, Little King's.
I do have gripes with PBR, and I'm going to air them right now.
I don't believe this is the airing of the grievances yet.
Not quite, but, you know, Thanksgiving was on the mind. It's almost right. Festivus.
There you go.
Was the sudden boom of PBR. I really liked PBR. I love High Life. I really liked PBR because nobody else drank PBR. I was like, yes, this was the beer that I could drink that nobody else. All of a sudden, it got really popular. Everybody's drinking it, and I'm like, I don't know. To a certain extent, I was like, oh, now I'm drinking PBR like everybody else.
Thank you, hipsters.
Yeah, basically. I was broke, so I like PBR because I could afford it.
Well, and that's why I like High Life.
Yeah.
Because I don't drink light beer.
Mm-hmm.
Just, it's not my thing.
Yeah.
Not that I don't want everybody else to drink it. Come on in and grab some. But I'm a High Life girl. If I'm just looking for a plain domestic and I want, I'll
so
drink
you see,
High Life all
that's
day
what
long.
People want then.
Yeah. But we do, what's going crazy right now are the seltzers.
The hard seltzers.
It's insane how
like the
many
White Claws.
No, there's no laws when you're drinking claws. it's crazy that Bud Light has a seltzer. High Noon makes one now that's vodka in a can. I brought one of those too because they're delicious.
Okay,
I'm gonna stay away from that one.
Yeah, well,
at least for the next 8.5 minutes here.
They're really nice. Look, perfect. They're really great if you're, wanting to have something portable, like say you're going to the pool or something and you want to, you're not going to bring a bottle of vodka and a bunch of, they're really great. It's like crack it up in a beer.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
All the seltzers, there's
meads?
So many.
Are you doing meads?
We don't have any meads.
Okay.
Those are a little harder to keep fresh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
There's a couple of meaderies around.
Right.
I'll let them do that, and that's their gig.
Yeah.
They're not really, they'll bottle them to go for you, but they're not really distributing them,
mm-hmm. yeah.
That I know of yet. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, and if you are, come talk to me. So we, we kind of try to go with what's popular at the time, because that's what's going to sell. You don't want things sitting in your cooler that are going to go bad, because things are dated. So, I rely on my reps a lot.
Yeah.
To, basically when they come in and see me, I'm like, what do you got that's new?
Mm-hmm.
What's selling? What's big? What's up and coming? And, they got a really good idea of what's moving.
Yeah.
So you're pretty excited about what's going on. They're kind of opening things up.
Oh, absolutely.
So now that we've started opening up, what have you had to do different in your establishment?
We've had to, at the beginning of it, when we first opened, and we were allowed to open
mm-hmm.
at the beginning because we have a full menu and a kitchen and all of that,
even though we're
a bar, we were part of that bars with food. And,
right.
we had more than the state minimum because you couldn't open if you just had like coffee and soup and that mm-hmm. sort of thing, and, you couldn't just suddenly buy Hot Pockets and say, hey, we serve food. You had to be established as that. So that really worked in our favor. So we got to open at 50% capacity. I took caution tape and put it all around the bar seating because you couldn't have anybody at the bar.
Yeah.
So we blocked all of those off and, it kind of went with the theme. Caution tape all through the bar. So
yeah, if you're a zombie, you got to watch it.
It was kind of funny. And it kept people from sitting.
Yeah.
Now we're at 50% capacity at the bar. So
at the bar, okay.
Yeah, you can have bar seating now, but only half. So we've taken some bar stools away. We've wrapped a few more with caution tape just to keep people from sitting too close. Our tables are 6 feet apart inside,
mm-hmm.
But you can have, six people at a table and, people are still standing around and doing things. We're, 75% capacity for us is a good day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, if you got 75 on a normal day, that's good. So.
Yeah. So, we're seeing it not just Friday and Saturday. I mean, we're seeing, every day.
Are people excited to get out there?
People are just happy to be out and see their friends and see, their bartenders. Because, that's another thing that we have. Like I said, going back to my staff, I have the best staff on the square, and people go in to see their bartenders. They can go anywhere and get a beer,
mm-hmm.
but they want to see the people who will talk to them, who will make them feel welcome, who will make
you
want to
go
home.
Where somebody knows your name.
Exactly.
Yep.
We have a few norms.
Okay. A couple of cliffs too, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. And they shall remain unnamed, but definitely.
Do you do any kind of markets? Like go out to do any kind of, when they have any taste, you do go out there and sell food?
We did before. We've done a couple of them. And it was really kind of great for us to go because we could cook all the stuff.
Mm-hmm. You're right
at
there.
The club, and then just walk it right out. We were talking about getting back into that to have some stuff. We, you know, again, we got to see where everything falls this year.
Yeah.
For, you know, timing and scheduling and, you know, even if they're going to be scheduled. Because we say we're going to do them, but, you know, who knows what's going to happen. I hope, you know, knock on wood, everything stays open and everybody stays healthy and, you know, everybody can keep making money and keep going with their businesses.
So when everyone wants to, you know, meet their friends, what's your peak times there? So when it's really going?
We get a good crowd right after work. So like, you know, 6 to 8-ish, we'll get a little bump. Mm-hmm. And then people start rolling in like 9, 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, I am shooing people out the door at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every day of the week.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That surprises me.
Well, because we have a lot of guys who do shift work and work nights.
That's
and,
true.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, people work all hours. They, you know, some people sleep, don't sleep, whatever, you know. Just we get a good crowd.
Yeah.
And again, it's kind of all age groups, you know. I mean, it's not just, you know, your 22, 23-year-olds at 3 in the morning. I mean, we have people, you know, of all walks of life and all ages at all hours.
So you dog friendly?
We are. I let some people bring their animals in. Not during, you know, you're not going to bring them in on a Friday, Saturday night when it's really crazy because that's
right.
a liability.
That's how you pick up, though.
Right, right. People are like, whoa, puppies.
Yeah. You can't bring your kid in.
Right.
So, there you go. There
well,
you go.
We do have a lot of guys bring their dogs because they think they're chick magnets. So they'll just, you know, they'll have people following them into the bar. I want to pet the puppy.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever works, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. We, you know, we'll allow it sometimes, you know, depends on who's in there and what's going on. And certainly service dogs are always welcome. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a few of those who come in too.
Anything coming down the line? Anything new? Anything we should know about? New operation? It seemed like when we were doing these interviews before, like three different places had got other places.
Too. Yeah. A lot of people expanding.
No, we don't have any plans for that. If I expand, it's going to be way, way south. So, you
Key
know,
Largo.
Like, yeah.
Montego.
Like I'll be, heading way, way south for
are
that.
You, anything with the menu thinking about?
We're going to keep the current menu as it is. We have the Mexican menu that we've added. Like I said, we're going to go back. I'm going to start, I'll do the Italian beef special. You know, those are things that we only do once in a while because they're really good, but, you know, you don't want to tire them out either.
Right.
So you want people to go, ooh, we're going to grab that while we can.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll go back to the Thanksgiving thing. Thinking about doing, like, an Italian day because that's my
genre.
Yeah, that's my gig. So, you know, I just made Tuscan chicken at home last night. So,
so I'm going to say the risotto
balls.
Risotto balls, risotto ricotta.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not Italian. I apologize.
Yeah,
but,
so, we'll,
you know,
we'll do an Italian night where I'll make, you know, a whole bunch of homemade meatballs and maybe a couple pans of lasagna or. You know, we're kicking all those ideas around right now. So watch for them. We have an Instagram page. We have a Facebook page.
Why don't you give your address, phone number? We're down to the last couple minutes.
118 West Clark Street in Crown Point. 219-662-8272 is our phone number. And, you know, you can find us.
And you can, right now, with the Mexican menu, you can pick up food all the way up to about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's really good. And, you know, you can get both menus concurrently for a few hours.
Yeah.
And then his menu right after that. So
what's the Facebook and the Gram pages?
Zombie Club Lounge is the Facebook, and the Instagram actually just got started, so now I'm going to look like a fool because I can't remember what they.
I'll see if I can pull it up in about 40 seconds.
Yeah.
So
why don't you? We got less than a minute. Give a shout out. What do you want to say to your customers and?
Well, to
the
customers who kept us afloat during the shutdown, I just want to say thank you. It was great. You were keeping us going. To my staff in particular, thanks for coming back full bore and being ready to just really start working and be really busy. And thanks for doing what you do to keep those people in there. You guys are awesome. Molly, Kira, Shannon, Casey, you guys are the best. You keep us going.
Zombie Club 3 a.m.
That's
what it is.
Yep. I couldn't remember what the extension was, so thanks.
So, Tom, we want to thank Trish from the Zombie Club for joining us here at the studio, our first day back after 3 months of being quarantined.
Mm-hmm.
And she has busy days, so she'll be there tonight, ready for the crowd.
I will be there tonight at 7 o'clock.
And I encourage everyone to visit the Zombie Club in Crown Point. It's right on the square. It's really kind of a cozy place.
It is.
And if you want to eat al fresco, you can eat al fresco.
Sit
can
outside,
eat outside.
We have a couple tables.
And it's right downtown. You can watch the all the. You can be a people watcher out there, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So, Tom, thanks for sitting in and helping me out.
Nick, let's get back in the saddle.
Okay, and all I got to say is Yasu.